Good afternoon, everyone. Guess it's afternoon, sure enough. All right. Let's see what we're going to talk about today. On April 28th this year, you may have heard in the news that air traffic control for Newark Airport experienced an outage. Three of the four radar systems, the screens went black, and all radio communication with the aircraft were lost. The outage lasted roughly 90 seconds. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association confirmed the incident, stating that the Federal Aviation Administration Operations Center, located in Philadelphia, which governs Newark Airport, had temporarily lost radar and communications with the aircraft under their control, making it impossible to see, hear, or speak to them. For 90 seconds, planes in the area were flying without oversight, direction, and control of the air traffic controllers. At that time, no one knew why it happened or how long it would last. Would that make you uneasy? Perhaps even a little anxious? Did the passengers even know? We're not sure. That would certainly make me uncomfortable, to say the least. We expect some things to be under control no matter what, and that certainly includes flying. It also gives us comfort to know that the pilot is trained and experienced. I don't know about you, but when I board an aircraft, I like to glance into the cockpit and see a little gray hair up in there. I want to know that this guy's been there, done that, and has the experience. I also like to find out if he happens to be an ex-Navy pilot who has landed on aircraft in the open ocean. Well, that's even better. That's the golden rule right there. I feel perfectly safe. We like it when things are under control, running smoothly. We like to manage our schedules, our families, our finances, and futures. Having control over our affairs gives us peace and confidence. But we can take things too far sometimes, not wanting to trust anything to anyone. Don't trust anyone else, not even God. Now, it's natural to want a sense of certainty. When life feels out of control, we feel uneasy. But God calls us to trust Him, not to micromanage everything out of fear. It says in Scripture, I'll just read these to you, you know these verses well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. A man's heart devises the way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. I think we can see that we might think we're in control, but we're not in as much control as we might think we are. The title of the sermon today is Submit Yourselves Therefore to God and Be Subject One to Another. Now, that's a long title. I'll read it to you again. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and be subject one to another. Turn to James chapter 4, if you would, please. We'll look where I got this title. James chapter 4, and we'll read verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and be subject one to another. James 4, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 5:21. I'll just read it, or if you have time to turn there, go ahead. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's an instruction that Paul gave us. And then the last one I would like you to turn to. It's 1 Peter 5:5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Where it reads, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble." Now, it's the same word in the Greek, submit, submitting, be subject, to put the other person first, to be subordinate to them and their needs. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence even in princes. That's Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. So, put not your confidence in men, but in God. Yet we do it all the time. We know we are not to put our complete, we know that we are to put our complete trust in the Lord, unquestionably. But the passages we just read also tell us to rely on one another. The same goes, we trust in man-made systems, the air traffic control systems, the pilots, the FAA regulations. We rely on others because we must. The same goes for other complex systems, gasoline distribution, the electrical grid, water treatment, for example. When something fails, we want to know, who's in charge? What went wrong? Who's fixing this? And how long is it going to take? You're inconveniencing me. We put our trust in man-made systems because, like it or not, we have no other choice. Now, to create the illusion of control in our lives, we spend lots of time and money organizing our lives, building routines to stay as in control as possible. When anything is disrupted, we feel unsettled until it's resolved. Why? Pride, perhaps. We like being self-reliant. Or maybe fear. Because when things feel like they're out of control, anxiety creeps in, and we don't like that, so we want to fix that as soon as possible. We fear the unknown. If left unchecked, our minds can spiral into worst-case scenarios. We seek order, calmness, and contentment in our lives, and when they're not, anxiety enters in. In 2024, the American Psychiatric Association reported increased anxiety levels among U.S. adults. 43% said they felt more anxious than the previous year, up from 37% in 2023 and 32% in 2022. Well, I'm an Excel guy, so what do? I put those numbers into Excel and I ran a trend line. A nice little trend line says that that ought to be about 48% this year, if it tracks the way it has been. 43% of people felt more anxious than the previous year, and it just keeps going. 70% cited current events as the cause, wars, rumors of wars, civil unrest. I suspect this may even be higher today than it was last year, according to what the latest events have seen, if you've been watching the news at all. 77% were anxious about the economy, the national debt at an all-time high, inflationary prices out of control, the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. 73% were worried about the 2024 election. Now, this poll was taken in May, so this was prior to the election. The total percentage, 73%, were worried about it. I suspect that percentage is probably still the same, although it may be reapportioned between the red and the blue. 69% of people feared gun violence. Just feared gun violence. Other top sources of anxiety. Keeping my family safe, 68%. Crime, home invasion, flood, fire, hurricane, tornado. Just paying the bills, 63%. Just trying to keep up with inflation, putting food on the table. And then unexpected expenses like car repair, home repair, medical expenses. Health concerns, 63% of people were worried about their health. Sickness, pandemics like COVID, chronic disease, or just aging. Identity theft, 63%. Maybe they'll ruin my credit, my reputation. Climate change, 57%. Whether it's caused by man or not, the climate is changing and has changed, warming and cooling throughout the centuries. And by reading Revelation, we know there's some climate change coming. You just wait. Emerging technologies, 46%. AI, artificial intelligence in particular, is disconcerting, impacting us all very quickly. Jobs eliminated, auto control by heartless algorithms. The opioid epidemic, 50%, family or friends getting hooked on painkillers inadvertently. Job security, 40%. Whether it's DOGE or whatever the tariffs bring, cost-cutting efforts by companies, regardless, robotics and AI eliminating some jobs. There's no wonder that people are becoming more anxious every year. Even with all our control systems in place and all our aims to control everything, there's still a high degree of uncertainty and anxiety. I typed the phrase, list of medications to treat anxiety, into my favorite search engine, and drugs.com came back with a list of 53 medications for anxiety. I would say it's reaching epidemic proportions, wouldn't you? We like things stable, but is it realistic to expect that everything will always be under control, especially our control? Since the fall of man, we've had to earn our keep by the sweat of our brow. It's not supposed to be easy. Life requires constant attention, toil, and repair. Scripture tells us that a time is coming when things will be even more out of man's control, completely out of control, chaos. Christ himself warned us about a time of tribulation, great tribulation like has never been before, a time when the world will cry out for someone to restore control, a strong man to step in and bring peace. I'm not telling you these things to scare you. You're likely already scared. I'm telling you this to create a sense of urgency. Part of our church's slogan is preparing a people, preaching the gospel, preparing a people. Are we prepared for what's coming our way? Are we? We can't control much, but there's one thing we can control: our thoughts, what we focus on, what we think about. It takes real effort to direct our attention to positive things, but if we don't, something else will grab our attention, whether it's news cycles, politics, TV, or entertainment, or advertising. I never cease to be amazed by the pharmaceutical advertisements. Many times I've never heard of these conditions, but the side effects of the drug, it's got to be worse than whatever that is. And I've never once asked my doctor whether or not a single one of those was right for me. And by allowing this negativity to enter our minds, the cumulative effect of the anxiety builds, whether we realize it or not. Anxiety can manifest itself in symptoms, illnesses, and diseases without us realizing the true cause. That goes back to stress and anxiety, the very things that we allow to capture our attention. But don't worry, Big Pharma will be right there with the perfect pill or the injection to treat the symptom while completely ignoring the root cause. I'm convinced they don't want a cure, but just manage the symptoms enough to keep the money rolling in. Customers who are cured are no longer customers. Most of the things that grab our attention don't affect our lives in any meaningful way on a day-to-day basis. I get up every day and I don't think about Ukraine at all. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect you either. We don't change what we do on a daily basis because of what we hear in the news and in entertainment and pharmaceutical commercials. Yet we allow them to fill our minds and steal our peace. There's a reason Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, not the government or Big Pharma. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, think on these things. Whatsoever is true, honest, just, pure, noble, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. And the God of peace shall be with you. That implies that if you're thinking on these other things, it's not the God of peace with you that's causing you that anxiety, that's for sure. The truth of the Bible tells us that if we think on these things, meditate on them, we will experience a peace that we don't even understand. Peace which passes all understanding. Much of the media that we consume, news, politics, pharmaceutical advertisements, etc., instill fear and cause this anxiety. Maybe it's time for a media fast. Unplug. Go outside, read a book. Visit with friends, face to face, in carbon form. At its core, all our fears are rooted in the fear of death. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please. All of our fears are rooted in the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, speaking of Christ, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear is one of our greatest enemies. It is that very fear of death that the evil one uses to control us. Make one mistake, and fear, uncertainty, anxiety can cause us to lose our way. Miss a mortgage payment? Uh-oh. What's going to happen? We have been freed by Christ from bondage to sin and death. The blood of Christ has purged our consciences from dead works to serve the living God, no longer to live in fear or doubt. Turn over to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, we'll look at verse 4 and 5. As Christians, we have no reason to fear death in this life, as life eternal has been assured to us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear, fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's God. Mike Goodwin, one of my favorite Christian comedians, puts it this way. In life, you only got two things to worry about. Are you healthy or are you sick? If you're healthy, you got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Are you going to get better? Or are you going to get worse? Or if you're going to get better, ain't nothing to worry about. But if you're going to get worse, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. If you live, ain't nothing to worry about. But if you die, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to go to heaven, the kingdom of God, or whether you're going to go to hell, the lake of fire. If you're going to heaven, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you're going to hell, there's two things you got to worry about. Original or extra crispy? As Christians, we've already been crucified with Christ. We're dead already. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, we'll read one of my favorite verses, verse number 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The old man in us has died. We've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We live by faith and await the resurrection. So I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. So there's no reason to fear. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, it says in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. We must stay focused on our future in the kingdom of God. To quote a good friend of mine, I'm going to live forever. I might die first. That's my good friend, Tom Henniger. He's your good friend, too. Always remember, God is in control. If we can sacrifice our control to his, we won't live in fear. If all things really do work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, we got nothing to worry about. When I was a child, I had no concerns. I was just experiencing life growing up. The cares of life were for my father to worry about, not me. I had no concept of what my dad was dealing with until I became a father myself. And I've been a world-class worrier ever since. I've heard that the worrying can cause your hair to turn gray, but I don't know. You see any evidence of that? I remember when my oldest son found his first gray hair in his early 30s, he called to ask me when I had gotten mine. I thought for a moment and replied, I can tell you exactly when it was, November 8th, 1980. He paused, thought about it, then exclaimed, hey, that's my birthday. Exactly. Your focus and priorities in life change when you have children. You take on a new role and new responsibilities to create a safe environment where your children don't need to worry. Because we have a heavenly Father who cares for us as children of God, we have no reason to be overly concerned either. We leave the cares to our heavenly Father to worry about, casting all our cares upon him, knowing and trusting because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. Now, God does expect us to manage our affairs, but under his direction. God gave dominion to man in Eden. But after the fall, it's only by the sweat of our brow, and we must exercise responsibility and self-control to make our way in this life, ideally in accordance with God's will. But if not God's will, then someone else is crouching at the door. As I've told my children and grandchildren, if you don't control yourself, somebody else will. Whether it's school, work, your behavior, discipline grants you a certain degree of control. If you do well, you will be blessed. But if you don't exercise proper self-control, others will control you, possibly even the state. One of my sons didn't learn that lesson. And I don't care who you are. You're going to have to serve somebody. No matter how successful or powerful you become, there's always somebody you have to answer to. Bob Dylan got it right. Everybody's got to serve somebody. That song, Gotta Serve Somebody, was released by Bob Dylan in 1979, and it won the Grammy Award for Best Rock Vocal Performance by a Male in 1980. The lyrics go like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. The song goes on for six more verses, always ending in the same refrain. You're going to have to serve somebody. Either you serve the Lord, or by default, you serve the devil. Let's see what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to try this one in the English Standard Version, the ESV. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world, or you could say the rest of the world, lies in the power of the evil one. So it's one or the other, depending on whom we yield ourselves. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. If you don't consciously choose to serve God, you're already serving the prince of this world by default. This applies to all people at all social and economic levels. Either you're living by godly principles or the lawless dictates of the evil one. Romans 6, verse 16. To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. Rod Dreher, who wrote the book Live Not by Lies, says this in his new book, Living in Wonder. Repentance begins with the sacrifice of control. Repentance begins with the sacrifice of control, and that can be frightening. Yes, it can be frightening at first when we let go and let God, but it's best to surrender to God all things of this life and trust him for the outcome. We have minimal control over them anyway. And through prayer, we can discuss even the smallest things with him down to the very last detail. Look at the list of things people worry about most: the economy, war, civil unrest. Sure, we can take some reasonable steps, being prudent with our money and staying away from unsafe areas. But when it comes to the bigger picture, we must let go. We have no say in that. Stop trying to take over. God's got this. As my dad used to say about letting things go and forgetting about them, don't leave the handle sticking thing out. He's from West Virginia. Don't leave the handle sticking thing out. What that means is don't give it to God while keeping a grip on it, just in case you want to take it back. Once you give it to God, let him have it. Maybe you think God's not working on it fast enough to suit you, so you try taking control again. Don't do it. God isn't on your schedule. Turn to Psalm 27, if you would. Psalm 27, we'll read verse 14. This tells you exactly how to handle that. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. That's it. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Give it to him and wait. Quit fretting. Obey God even when you're uncertain, maybe especially when you're uncertain. That's faith, active faith, shown by obedience to the leading prompts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Though he were a son, speaking of Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. If Jesus had to learn obedience, of course, we do too. When we suffer, we should ask God, what is the lesson we must learn from this? It's hard to do in the middle of it. We may not be able to count it all joy at the time, but there is a reason for it. Search it out. Learn the lesson so you don't have to go through it again and learn the same lesson over. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we'll start with verse 23. Sorry for all the scriptures, but I'm trying to lay the groundwork that, look, we don't have control and we leave it with God. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. Though God will direct our steps and see to it that we will not be utterly cast down, that does not mean we're to go it alone. He placed us in a body of believers in order to strengthen us and likewise for us to lift them up. It is the very means by which he upholds us with his hand. We are to look after others, especially those of the household of faith. As we grow from childhood, we may think we've gained control of our lives, but eventually we realize many things in life are beyond our control. And more, there are elements over which we have even very little influence. We cannot manage it all alone. We need to rely on God and on each other to make it through. We need emotional support from time to time and encouragement. Even physical support and spiritual support through prayer, edification, exhortation, and comfort from our brothers and sisters in Christ who understand us best, who have seen us at our worst and still love us. It's only by God's grace that he placed us in a caring body of believers like ours that we can rely on the support and help that we need. I know it's hard. Hard for some of us to accept help, and it's hard to let others know your business. But one thing I've learned, we all will need somebody's help sooner or later. It doesn't have to be a public request, just a private conversation with someone you trust. But either way, we're here for each other. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another, not to share every sordid detail of our past, but to share our hopes and our fears, concerns and struggles with each other in Christ, trusting in each other with discretion and praying for one another. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. I'll give you a little more time to turn to this one because I do want you to be there when I read it. Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 10. And I'll try the New King James this time. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 10. This is instructions for each of us. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That means put the needs of your brother or sister in Christ ahead of your needs, even when it's inconvenient. When they need you, they need you. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It is becoming clearer every day. We cannot and will not overcome all that is coming our way by ourselves. In isolation, we wither, but together we flourish. We need each other. We must endeavor to develop relationships of trust and authenticity now. We need to get to know each other like we know our own brothers and sisters. Pause and ask yourself, who can you trust unequivocally in a crisis? What name comes to mind? Any? Who would you trust with your very life or the life of a loved one? Is it a family member? A longtime friend? Someone in the church? Is there anyone you can trust like that? outcast together. The time is coming when we will be ostracized, pushed to the margins of society, and even betrayed by people we once thought we could trust. Matthew 10:36. We need to begin fortifying our relationships now, while we can still meet in peace and discuss such things safely. Imagine one day you discover your credit cards don't work, your bank accounts are frozen, all your financial assets are locked. At first, you assume it's a temporary glitch. You try to call a couple people and see what's going on. But then you realize you've been targeted. It becomes clear you've been marked as a problem. You're not welcome in society. You're not in line with society's program. You believe in an invisible man in the sky. You've said the wrong thing to the wrong person. You've spoken outside the permissible narrative. You've gone and said the quiet thing out loud. Who do you turn to? Family? Neighbors? Do you even know your neighbors? What about your brothers and sisters in Christ, the very people in this room? How well do you know them? Where do you turn? Digital cancellation and AI control. With the rise of artificial intelligence, decisions are now made by impersonal algorithms. Software scans millions of data points in seconds, flagging keywords and phrases. Facial recognition software and photo analysis identifies you, and GPS tracking can find you wherever you are. Remember the TV show Person of Interest? Maybe you don't think we're there yet. Go to YouTube and search for Palantir Surveillance, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-R. Palantir is a company. Palantir Surveillance, and you'll see what I mean. The capability is already there. It's time we start to think about these things. You can be canceled electronically, digitally erased, without a single human involved. Recently, I had a small taste of this. I tried logging into Facebook and discovered it had been disabled. No warning, no clear explanation, just that I had violated some obscure community standard. Appeal? Denied. No recourse for 180 days, and maybe, or maybe not, they'll consider reinstatement. No person to contact, nothing. What if it had been my bank account? Now, this is real, and it's happening faster than we think. Remember the Canadian truckers who had their financial assets frozen for protesting during the COVID policies in Canada? Companies in this country have been debanked because they sell firearms, and the bank doesn't want their business. Christians are being marginalized around the world. Look at China's social credit system. That's the template, and you better believe it's coming here. These are things we should consider together now while we have the freedom to do so. The system is collapsing. We must live resilient Christian lives. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. We become anxious when we're uncertain about the future. But if we sacrifice control to God and we place our full trust in Him, there is peace, real peace. John 14, 27, this is Christ telling the disciples before he departed to Gethsemane, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So in conclusion, I know we'd like to have complete control over everything that affects our lives, but we can't. There are only two things you got to worry about. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Number one, walk with Him daily. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Get to know Him on the Abba level. What do I mean by that? In Romans 8:15, it reads, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy." Do you know God that closely, where you feel comfortable calling him Abba? We need to. Allow him to draw near to you. Repentance. Love him. Obey him. Trust him. And the second thing, be subject one to another. Fortify your relationships. Church of God members, with focus on our own congregation, for starters, and others abroad, we need to look out for one another and get close enough to really trust each other. Develop relationship with your neighbors who live closest to you. They may be your first line of support due to their proximity. Here's a bonus recommendation. If you find yourself getting anxious, number one, pray. There is joy and peace in God's presence. Secondly, call, text, visit with your Christian brothers and sisters, or even your neighbors. Tell them how you feel. Don't isolate yourself. Much mental illness is due to isolation. And thirdly, examine your input. TV, internet, news, politics, entertainment. Does it give you a sense of peace or anxiety? Does it make you nervous? Consider a media fast. Unplug, go outside, read a book, visit with friends. Sacrificing control isn't passive. It's an act of faith, a daily choice to trust God. It's a sacrifice of your will for his. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Trying to control what was never ours to begin with only brings worry. Trusting in the one who is actually in control brings peace. I look forward to the Sabbath day every week, not only to hear God's word and sing his praises, but also to be with each of you, God's people of like mind and faith. I hope you don't consider this as just another sermon on unity, but a call to survival, collective struggle, and mutual support. We need each other now and even more as we see the day approaching. We have a lot yet to go through before our Lord returns. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, our final verse. Colossians chapter 3. We are becoming a family. We are a family. And we must learn to depend on each other, because the time is coming when we will have no other choice. I hope this message is clear. The time has come to get close to God and build close relationships of love and trust with each other. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one with another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive them. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.